Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. Scare Track is a podcast featuring three scare enthusiasts who discuss the crazy world of scare entertainment. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
You're listening to Scare Track, the UK's first scare attraction podcast. Now, welcome your hosts, Mikey, Sean, and Hannah.
Hello, and welcome to episode 39 of the Scare Track podcast, a podcast supported by the Haunted Attractions Network. On today's show, we have our news and rumours section. Our feature section is an interview with Lou Jones, a scare actor and university student studying the scare attraction industry. We have our return of the spooky movie discussion, and we finish off with our listener feedback. My name is Mikey, and I'm in the studio today with Hannah. Hannah, how's it going?
It's going really well. I'm a bit broken today. I've just been horse riding, so I'm going to be fidgeting a little bit. Because
right.
I'm in pain.
So you rode a stallion today.
I rode a stallion named Pirate.
And you're
going to
be riding
hours.
A stallion named Mikey later. Ayo!
Why? When's he getting here?
Oh, you're such an idiot. And we also have Sean. Sean, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm slightly disturbed by what you just said, but I mean, it's not like I've never seen it before. Oh, Europa okay. Park 2013.
naked photos. So, so unprofessional. So, like we said earlier, it's boring being professional. So, like we said earlier, this is episode 39. It's April 2017, and it's time for our news and rumours.
The UK scare attraction news and rumours.
Cursed in Essex have released some fantastic new logos for their attraction and have announced that they will be bringing a brand new attraction Cursed in Essex have released some fantastic new logos for their attractions and have announced that they will have a brand new attraction debut. Oh, can't say this word.
Can you not say debut?
Debuting. Right. Cursed in Essex have released some fantastic new logos for their attraction and have announced they will be having a brand new attraction coming this Halloween.
I'm going to keep all that in, by the way.
No, you're not!
I am. Secrets Beneath have arrived in mainland England. They've set up camp in Portsmouth and their brand new zombie escape game, Outbreak, will be opening in May.
Europa Park Horror Nights in Germany, one of our absolute favourite places in the world, are having a whole new rebrand for this year's event. This year's Europa Park Horror Nights will be known as Traumatica. I don't know whether this change and rebrand is going to be traumatic for us diehard fans, but I'm excited and nervous.
Yeah.
Are you guys going this year?
Pardon?
You guys are going, aren't you?
Yeah, the plan is to go in October, but I love Europa Park Horror Nights. I think the formula is perfect. The, you know, location, the park, the type of attractions, the overall atmosphere, the drink is spot on.
So why change it?
Grant, last year fell a little bit flat for us. I think it was only because we went on opening night. Mm. And there is so much stuff to do there now. You do need more than one night there. Similar to Halloween Horror Nights and Busch Gardens Howl & Scream and such. So these big theme parks, you do need more than one night. It's been so good for the last 10 years. Why change it? But hopefully it just brings some better things with it.
I'm still excited.
I
think I'm more nervous at the fact that the whole sort of name change implies a brand change, which to me implies that the characters we've come to know and love, like Smiles and Chins, I don't think that they'll be.
Yeah, they may
they'll be
really
there anymore.
Changing
like
it up.
I think they'll still have the actors, but I don't think that those characters will exist anymore.
No.
And I hope that's not the case, because they're a massive part of why we love Europa.
So are they actually changing Europa Park's Horror Nights to Traumatica?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been renamed Traumatica.
So no longer will you be able to buy, you know, merchandise that says Horror Nights?
No.
I don't think so. Unless they're going to call it like Horror Nights Traumatica or
no,
Traumatica
think,
Horror Nights, but I don't think they are. But
right.
We'll have to wait and see. We'll be able to tell you on the show in about 6 months' time.
Interesting.
Six months. Sorry.
Okay, moving on with the news.
Yes, so I'm excited to announce Fear at Avon Valley have said they'll be bringing a brand new attraction to their lineup this Halloween. I'm really looking forward to this, as you know, and Hannah and Mikey, you can agree, all their stuff, all their work is pretty spot on.
Yeah, we love, obviously, Sam, Seb, Jade, and their whole team. They've put on some really quality attraction. Phobia last year for me was amazing.
Every year.
Fear at Avon Valley, yeah. So yeah, some really real quality stuff from them. Speaking of new attractions, Screamfest Burton have announced two new attractions for this year called Demonica and, I probably can't pronounce this, but Dia de Muertos.
I'm glad you gave yourself that.
I know, I gave myself that one. So a new attraction at Fear and a new attraction at Burton. So
this new attraction at Burton, do we think that this is going to be replacing something?
Yes, as far as I'm aware, one of them is replacing Children of the Corn and the other is replacing, I think it was Nightbringer, which is surprising because that's only in its second year. So we'll have to wait and see.
Interesting.
Moving on.
Passage del Terra have announced they will soon be making changes to one of their old scenes. We can't wait to find out more in the coming weeks.
Yeah, they're putting in a brand new scene and getting rid of an old one. I love that they put in a Saw scene a couple of years ago. That was really good.
Yes, I love that.
But yeah, I wonder what's going and what's arriving.
I hope it's not one of the iconic ones that I like personally.
Yeah, like the Regan bed and the Halloween Michael Myers corridors, great. Yeah. But there are a couple of rooms.
An excuse to go to Blackpool.
Yeah, but there are a couple of rooms that I just don't recognise. So
yeah, but that's because you don't watch horror films.
Good point. Good point.
Immersive events and jailhouse tours. The team behind Twisted Fairy Tales and Lockdown have announced they will be now running a event at two new prisons, Shepton Mallott and Gloucestershire.
It's because you're southern. You don't know where anything else is. Yeah. So Shepton and Gloucestershire.
I have no idea. Well, obviously, I know where Gloucester is, but Shepton, Mallock.
I'm not too sure, actually.
Who knows?
I know. Darren Brown's Ghost Train at Thorpe Park has reopened with the tagline of Rise of the Demon. So far, we've heard some great reviews. We've not yet had a chance to ride it, but we can't wait to give it a go.
The Grey Scare Maze will be back not only at Halloween but at summer too. Just search The Grey on Facebook for more details.
Vampire Beach will be back at Blackpool Pleasure Beach this year on Saturday the 28th of October.
Oh. Awesome. So that's it for all the news and rumours this month. It's now time for our feature section. You're listening to Scare Track. So now it's time for our feature section. About a month or so ago, the show was contacted by Lou Jones. Lou is a scare actor based at Screamfest Burton here in the UK. She recently contacted the show with a series of questions for her dissertation about the scare industry for her final year at university at Manchester Metropolitan. I'll start again. For her final year of university at Manchester Metropolitan University. So, Lou Jones, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
no worries at all. Thanks for coming on. How are you? Okay?
Yeah, I've been really good, thank you. Really excited to get into the scare industry again and start talking about it, you know?
Absolutely, sounds good to me. So we've told our listeners that you contacted the show for research for your degree, but before we discuss that, let's get to know you a little bit. How exactly did you get into the scare industry?
Okay, so it was 2012 when I was at college, and Rosie Redvers-Jones from Screamfest, who is an absolutely wonderful woman, she decided to recruit a load of volunteers for Screamfest. So for my first 2 years as a scare actress, I was literally a volunteer, but then I think they saw potential in me. So from then on until this present year, I've been with Screamfest. it was kind of weird because I didn't really know that there was a huge industry out there based around like scares. But when my partner Gareth Jones, he introduced me to it, and last year I went to Margate and met you guys for the first time. It was incredible.
Awesome. So, Lou, you just quickly mentioned that you worked at Screamfest. Can you give us an insight on what the experience is like? You know, obviously, like you said, you didn't know how massive the industry is, and like there's so many people that do scare acting. What was it like coming into, you know, into this world with fresh eyes?
I mean, it was absolutely crazy because my first ever role was a walkabout outside on press night. And literally, I've never felt so scared in my entire life. Like, because I always say to people, you can't really give someone like a manual word for word telling you how to act. Like, you've got to find your own way around it. And, you know, doing that for your first time is absolutely terrifying. And obviously, when it's a press night and you've got everyone who's so used to going to these scare attractions and stuff, and okay, they're not going to be as scared as the average public is. You know, it's really intimidating, but through my years at Screamfest, I've found myself going from the volunteer roles, the smaller roles, to having major parts. Like Love Hurts this year was absolutely incredible. I played a key role as a surgeon, like a mad surgeon, and my face is also the one they used for Screamfest to advertise Screamfest last year.
Ah,
I ended up being
cool.
in the promo videos as well. So, you know, kind of going from just walking around trying to scare people to actually really getting into it and really wanting to be a part of it. It's just amazing. It's been an incredible journey.
That's so cool. I bet you're so proud of being used in their advertising.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, my double chin is a lot more scarier than my face in that picture. But, you know, it's great. It's wonderful.
So can we look forward to you scaring us again at Burton Screamfest this year or somewhere else?
Well, because I've kind of been based at Manchester Metropolitan, I've had to, you know, really set myself in one place. So hopefully I will be going back to Screamfest this year and having a key role. But you know, once I graduate, I'm completely open. I'd love to take on roles during the summer. I'd love to go to other places. So yeah, I'm completely open at this point. Completely open.
Excellent. So now I know a little bit more about Lou Jones, the scare actor side of things. Let's get to know to the educated side. So you currently study contemporary theatre and performance at Manchester Metropolitan University. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Perfect. And I understand your dissertation for your critical context module was all basically based on the scare industry.
Yes, it was. It was the first time anybody had ever tried tackling that issue, actually. So,
How did you even convince your lecturers to let you do a dissertation on the scare industry?
Well, it wasn't easy, I'll tell you that. Because I do contemporary theatre, basically we look into many different kinds of theatre. So not just the kind of bog standard stage productions we're used to. We look at more site specific work, more immersive work, work that challenges the audience essentially. And I've always been interested in the idea of an immersive theatre and how the audience wants to push that kind of theatre. So in my second year, I did this piece where they had to go around this makeshift scare attraction, but at every corner there was something worse than they'd previously experienced. But at the end of it, it was literally just me, and I was like, I can't go any further with this. You know, is this, you're pushing me so far.
Yeah.
I physically can't give you anything else. But the fact that there is such a theatre that, you know, exists out there, the scare industry, I could easily talk about that. Like, you know, people go there, they crave being scared. So, you know, I could kind of mix that in together with the educated side, and, you know, I just thought it'd be something fun to do and explore.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you.
Totally.
It's really interesting, and I was so surprised Mikey didn't use the word, his favourite word, promenade theatre.
Anyway, Lou, me and Hannah actually met on a theatre degree, so we kind of know what you kind of have to do with all your research and
Mikey
your critical
does,
content.
I just drank through you.
Hannah just drank through you, Leah, that's how we met.
Same.
But your course sounds a lot more fun than ours did.
It's questionable. It's one of those where you can literally put a chair in the middle of the room and call it art and get people to pay for it. Kind of course.
Totally agree with that. I think we spent a whole module pretending to be the colour yellow.
Don't even go there.
I am the colour yellow.
Interesting. We could talk about this all day. Let's move on. So if it's okay with you, Lou, we would like to get to know... I am making this up. We would like to go through each and every question that you ask the scare attraction industry. I'm sure some of our listeners may actually recognize these questions, as we understand you contacted many people in the scare world.
Yeah, like, you know, the response I got was absolutely incredible. I have to do a special shout out to Andy Rawlings, though. He helped me so much, and it was amazing because I could essentially go into class and present all my findings, and my tutor would be like, oh, you could do this and this, and I was like, fine, okay, I'll just message him on Facebook later, that's fine. And they were like, what, you're actually like talking to someone like about your disc? That's amazing. And you know, his book Through the Dead Eye was absolutely incredible. Like,
yeah, it's a great book.
I practically lived off that book for about 3 months, which was wonderful. Also, you guys as well, you gave, you know, a really good insight. Lee and Sarah Conway on Cracked, totally, with Brett Jones as well. Like, those guys were absolutely wonderful when it came to the more extreme side of things. They gave a lot of information and a lot of different perspectives. Yeah, like, so many people helped. The response was incredible.
Awesome. Sounds good. That's what we like about the scare industry. Everyone's sort of one big, friendly, happy family. And to all our UK listeners, you may know all those names that were dropped there. Obviously, Lee and Sarah from Cracked and PUP and Brett Jones, who's currently doing The Grey. And obviously, Andy Cookie Rawlins, who, good friend of the show, the author of Through the Dead Eye. But to all the American listeners out there, well, that's basically who they are. I've just explained it. So if you don't know, obviously, check out all our UK stuff. We definitely know what we're doing.
It'll be interesting to know, actually, sorry for butting in, how many people in the US can do a dissertation? If they have dissertations in the US, I don't know. But if they don't know what a dissertation is, it's basically like...
It's just a big paper.
What is it?
Call them a paper.
It's like, yeah, you have to basically like choose an area of research and kind of relate it to the course you're doing. So it's like essentially writing 5,000 to 10,000 words on extended research, really.
What is your word count, by the way? Just curious.
My word count was 500. It was 500 words, and from all the research I got 6,000. I've got 2,000 words worth of research. So cutting it down was really difficult.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really difficult.
See, they were nasty to us. Our dissertation was 10,000 words.
No, I couldn't do it. Could not.
I only did 7,000.
Hannah only did 7,000. Still passed. Right. So what we're going to do? We're going to get on to these. We thought the best way for our listeners to know exactly what was involved in your dissertation really was to say the question, say the answer that ScareTrack gave, whether it be right or wrong, or what. It's basically just what we thought, and then you can sort of tell us what your overall reply was, whether people sort of agreed with what we thought or something completely different. So let's go through the questions.
Okay, so the first question that you asked the scare industry was, through the years of being involved in the scare industry, do you feel it's had to keep up with certain expectations of the audience? Do you think it's harder to scare the modern audience?
So obviously we gave our answer along with the rest of the scare industry. So here's how I answered that question. I don't believe the UK scare industry is quite mainstream enough yet. The target audience is still rather new. The likes of enthusiasts like myself are harder to impress, and certain companies like to push the boundaries. However, average Joe public are still scared by the most simple of attractions. Even in America last year, I went through some very I would call them standard haunted houses, nothing special. And the American audience were absolutely terrified. Over there, the genre has been around for far longer than in the UK. So at the moment, no, I think we still have a long time before we need to worry too much about certain expectations of especially the general Joe public. Lou, I have a feeling that some people would disagree with my answer, purely because of how fast our industry is growing over here. What were sort of some of the answers you got from that?
I mean, yeah, it's quite interesting, really, because a lot of people, because, you know, I totally agree with you, the industry is so new and not a lot of people know about it. Like, they don't know that there's this thing that caters towards extreme emotions. And a lot of people kind of agreed with what you were saying in the fact that the market is so new. Like, there's so many different ideas to explore. The industry only recently started in the early 2000s, like late 90s. So there's a lot out there to explore still. But that's kind of the general idea I got from it, which was interesting because my dissertation centered around the idea of desensitization and the audience feeling this kind of phenomena. But then saying, no, that's not true. There's still a lot of time for us to explore that kind of stuff. I kind of had to shift what I was talking about. So rather than talking about the desensitization for the audience, instead I started talking about the need to be scared. So having that opportunity, like having those opportunities to go to those scare attractions that are still trying out new things, to feel that emotion. So I thought that was really interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And considering you spoke to a whole sort of range of different people who are from sort of different backgrounds in the scare industry, I guess we can all sort of give a different viewpoint on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Sean, you got question two, buddy?
Yep, question two. Although these attractions are designed to instill fear into customers, they come back year after year to experience it again. Why do you think this is?
And we replied, fear appears to be contagious. Most scare attractions actually infuse comedy into the audience. People get scared, so they laugh about it, or they laugh at their friends. Laugh is contagious, as is a scare attraction. Adrenaline, I think, is also a huge factor. A large amount of the human race love a quick adrenaline buzz, and these attractions offer that. So, Lou, what kind of reply did you receive for that question?
Yeah, it was... It was a lot to do with the adrenaline kind of side of it, because I found that quite interesting. So I went into the more psychological side of it, and it became apparent in my research that adrenaline, you kind of crave it. So the adrenaline going through your head and giving you that high and making you feel like elated, we don't get that a lot. So to be able to have a chance to experience that in a large group of people, because what we tend to do as an audience is we kind of feed off each other's responses. So if a group is going in to a scare attraction and they're all genuinely having a good time, like that feeling will spread and it will have a really positive impact on that group of people. So to have that chance to go and visit these kinds of things and to feel that emotion, I think that's why people love going to see the things we do. And also, you know, that idea of it's a fantasy, really. Like, you can't, there's not a lot of opportunities to go into a world that's like post-apocalyptic with zombies chasing after you. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I'd love to do that every day.
I don't know. You don't live in Stafford. It's not far away.
Come to Swadlinco. You'll see. But, yeah, you know, to be able to relive that fantasy and the things you see on TV as well, to be a part of that for, I don't know, however long an attraction is, I think it really resonates with, like, modern people, you know?
Yeah, it brings a sense of escapism, I guess.
Definitely.
Awesome.
Okay, so question number three of your dissertation research to the scale world was... With media becoming a constant influx in everyday life, with shows like The Walking Dead and many more, do you feel like they are having an impact on the audience? Do you think there is a worry in the scare industry that this could desensitise the audience to the point where they no longer get scared?
And we replied with, we believe that TV scares are completely different to real life scare attractions. It's quite surprising how many people will visit a comic con or a horror con and have actually never set foot in a scare attraction. We believe The Walking Dead, etc. will only have a positive effect on the scare industry, as it would appear many companies are using the Walking Dead IP, the intellectual property, or other film or TV IPs, which should only bring a wider audience to our already rather niche market. Did people agree with this, Lou, or were they sort of the exact opposite to us?
Yeah, I think this is the point where I kind of had to change what question I was asking, because, you know, when I was asking people about the desensitization, they were like, no, that's not the problem. Like, people react very well to it. Like, a personal experience of mine, when I was in Love Hurts last year, I had to act as a zombie, and a lot of the audience basically turned around and said they felt like they were in The Walking Dead or Outlast or Night of the Living Dead. So I think one of the responses I got was watching something on TV and feeling someone breathing down the back of your neck are two totally different things. Like, you're never going to get that emotion whilst you're basically, you've got that silver screen blocking you from the danger, really. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's literally where the turning point, where I had to look at a different way to ask my question. So it's like interesting to see how people react to something on TV rather than something that is real and something that is coming close to you. There's always going to be that constant fear when something is real. So yeah, it's kind of looking at that, really.
That's a good point, really, because when you think about it psychologically, obviously we're all different, but if I compare myself to my younger brother, for example, I, as all our listeners will know, I'm actually terrified of scary films. I very rarely watch them.
I know it's rubbish.
Hannah loves them. But growing up, I'd never watched a scary film. Even quite recently with Hannah, I've been like, why the hell would you watch a film that makes you scared? Because I won't sleep
at
night.
And
yet I absolutely adore going through scare mazes or haunted houses. I can't get enough of it. Again, I think that's because I'm a theatrical kind of person. That's why I may enjoy that. Whereas my little brother, who was, when he was 5 years old, was watching blooming Hellraiser and whatnot. He'll watch every scary movie there is to watch by himself and with the lights off and not be bothered. He lives alone as well. Yet he is yet to set through a single scare attraction because he's absolutely petrified to do so.
He's promised us he is this year.
Yeah, he has promised us he will this year. But yeah. It just goes to show how different people react compared to, like you say, that silver screen where they know they're not going to live any of it, compared to a real world where, yeah, zombies may grab you here, that kind of
thing. Yeah, exactly. And I think also, like, you have to look at the psychology between people who are actually in the scare industry and who are outside of it. Like, I actually went into a scare attraction for the first time ever last year, which is crazy because I've been in the industry for so long. Yeah. I went to Alton Towers at Halloween, and, you know, going through those mazes was absolutely amazing. But, like, you know, there were certain elements of it, like chainsaws and people grabbing me and stuff like that. It's like, I'd find that funny because I'm a part of that world. However, if you took somebody else, like an average Joe audience member, they'd absolutely flip at that. So I think you have to work with those kind of ideals as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Hannah's still absolutely terrified of chainsaws. You're better. Awesome. Sean, you got the next question, buddy?
Yes. We've talked about the, you know, scare attractions and the general side of that area. Moving on to the next level of extreme experiences, like Makemi Manor and Cracked appearing in the scare attraction industry, how far do you think it is possible to take a scare before it becomes an ethical issue?
And ScareTrack's reply to that question was, ethics should be left at the front door of any attraction. Providing the customer 100% knows what they're letting themselves in for and that the whole ordeal is safe and legal, then attractions/experiences should never really have to worry about being ethical. many films, again, we're talking about the silver screen now, many films are sick, twisted, and extremely unethical. Why can't attractions be the same? I'm guessing there may have not been many people who agreed with us there, Lou.
Yeah, it was, once again, it's interesting because whilst I was, you know, going through all my research, it became very apparent that people wanted to reassure me that there was, you know, a line between what we classify as the scare industry and what we classify as the more extreme kind of stuff. So when I was talking to Lee and Sarah Conway and Brett Jones, when they were talking about Cracked and their helping hand in that, they basically said that it's something that's very, very different, and it's for like the kind of next level of thrill seekers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of agree with you there, because there was a case study in Through the Dead Eye, and it was from two perspectives of performers. So there was one who was basically willing to do anything, like put himself in physical and mental danger to get a reaction out of the audience, whereas on the complete other side of the spectrum, you've got the performer that's like, no, the fear should be in the idea that you might die in this scare maze. Not like physically, like God, no, but you know, that idea that something could happen to you, like not physically happening to you, because once you kind of add the touch element in there, you kind of break that fantasy. So then it's like, well, what are you going to do to me now? You know what I mean? So
I think it could only go so far.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So I think, you know, it's a case of these extreme attractions and these extreme modes have to be very careful of that silver lining, like where you start changing one thing into another.
Yeah. Totally, and it's funny you mentioned the sort of the Cracked guys as well, because obviously we're close friends with Lee, Sarah, and Brett. And the very first Cracked they did, as far as I'm aware, hardly anyone who did it had actually been through a standard kind of scare attraction before. It was more of the people that do Tough Mudders and boot camps and survival experiences. So it just goes to show how, again, sort of quoting what you said, it's sort of a totally different market in its case anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's like going back to fear as well, like it's like Gareth was saying to me a couple of days ago, it's such a broad spectrum. So some people could be absolutely terrified of clowns and other monsters and dark spaces, whereas some people, that fear comes from being pushed to your limits, being forced to ingest like you know, questionable food and drink, and being forced to do things you don't want to do, and literally pushing your human body to the limits, because we don't know what those limits are. And I think there is a genuine fear in that, but it's like a test for yourself as well. Like it's a test for someone who hasn't been in a scare attraction to go through there and face their fear. So I think it's all about like targeting the idea of fear in general, really, like what levels you can cater for.
It would be interesting to know how many people would class, you know, Cracked, McCamey Manor, the
Snuff House.
Mm-hmm. How many people would class that as a scare attraction? See, to me personally, I would call that an experience or an extreme attraction.
Yeah. I mean, like when I was doing my research, everyone was pretty much adamant that it wasn't a scare attraction. It was a survival experience. So, yeah, it's like, you know, I totally agree with what you're saying.
Sure.
Awesome.
Okay, so moving on to our last few questions. Have you had any personal experiences in these type of extreme experiences? What did it feel like? Do you feel like your personal boundaries were pushed to the test, or do you think they could have gone further with it? If this is the case, how?
So I took more of a lead when answering this question again, as I think Sean and Hannah would both agree that I'm the only one ugly enough and stupid enough to try out multiple extreme attractions.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks, Hannah. So I've put in reply to this question for your research, I have experienced Cracked, Project Fear, and all the incarnations of Psycho Mantium. Project Fear was very aggressive, but not too physically challenging for the most part. It was an alone experience, so it only heightened the fear factor. Psycho Mantium was always kind of a walk in the dark. It was never scary, but sick and twisted, and a perfect example of Artaud's theatre of cruelty. I always thought I could be pushed further. The crack literally cracked me. I could handle the stress positions just about, the waterboarding, the tied up in a box, etc. But when it came to physically eating the most putrid of food, I had to give up. So in some respects, cracked was too far to me for me to cope, whereas other sections of the experiences were easier and I could have been pushed harder. So again, it all depends on what a person's scared of. I was scared of eating the food, I think. So Lou, just out of curiosity, did you have many replies where people had experienced extreme attractions? Only because it is quite a niche market, already inside a niche market of the scare industry. How many people have actually visited these multiple extreme attractions?
Yeah, it's really weird actually, because the majority of the people I interviewed, none of them had or wanted anything to do with the extreme attractions. Like even when I was speaking to Brett Jones, you know, he said he was happy to go through the process of making sure people knew what they were doing and like basically the trials and whatnot, like, you know, having a creative part in that, but he would not want to get involved in it. So again, I think it's kind of talking about how far you're willing to go to test yourself, really. Like, but yeah, I thought it was really interesting because when, you know, you would have thought, as us being in the scare industry, we'd be interested in that kind of stuff. But then when you guys said earlier that it was, you know, the kind of audience from Tough Mudder or people who had done marathons or the more, you know, survivally kind of stuff like that. Yeah. I just think it's really interesting that, you know, no one from the industry, as far as I'm concerned or aware, wanted to get involved with that market. So yeah, I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even again, bringing Lee Conway up, I speak to him quite a bit because he runs Cracked, and in a few weeks' time, he's doing Cracked versus Heretic. Heretic is an extreme attraction in the US. He's also doing Fraternity with Gary Crompton from G&G, who originally did Project Fear, which I think is the first sort of concept of an extreme attraction in the UK. Lee and Gary have both actually said they would never want to go through something like Cracked or Fraternity or Project Fear, because they're fine giving it to people and provide it for people, but it just doesn't appeal to them. And it used to appeal to me, but since Cracked, I'm a broken person.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I know I'm going into a bit of a controversial area here, but coming from a research perspective, I had a look at McCaney Manor for something that I could potentially write about, but I chose not to just because there's so many facts and rumours and urban legends going around about it that you don't know what the truth is. But from, like, the material you get from McCaney Manor, so the images and all the horrific videos you see, it's to put any sane person off. Like, why you'd want to go through that, I never know. But at the end of the day, as you said earlier, it just depends on the individual. Like, you can't cater to everybody. There's always going to be a different market to look at, no matter which way you look at it.
Do you know what? It's so weird because to me, going through Cracked or Snuff House... bearing in mind, I have actually been through Snuff House.
Yeah, crazy boy.
But for me, it didn't do anything. I know I haven't done Cracked, whereas, and it doesn't appeal to me, you know, these extreme events don't appeal to me at all. Not the fact that, oh, you're only saying this because you're scared, Sean. No, it's not that. I wouldn't get a thrill out of it, if you know what I mean. Mm. Whereas McCaney Manor, I feel I would want to do that because for me, I go through scare attractions, and I know we've stated that it's an extreme attraction, not a scare attraction, but I go through scare attractions because I like being transported into like a new world. Like you said, one minute you're in a farm, the next minute you're in World War II with like zombies. Some gas mark. Yeah, exactly. So that I like being transported, whereas Cracked and Snuff House, and I'm only speaking from what I've heard from Cracked. Cracked is like based in like an industrial kind of setting, isn't it?
It's I suppose so. It was in like an unused warehouse kind of thing last time. Yeah. It was a perfect location for it, but it's sort of like you don't really know where you are because you're...
No. But for me, Makemi Manor, going through like these different rooms, these different sets, these different trials, for me, that's something that I'd personally enjoy.
Right. Maybe you're the sick and twisted one of the group.
Wait, which leads very good onto my next... that doesn't make sense. Which leads very well onto my next question. So... your question was, there is a notion that humans as species have a secret pleasure in seeing and experiencing things that wouldn't be socially acceptable, whether it's disturbing, sexual, or often unknown contents. Do you think this may be why scare attractions are so appealing to us as people? I think this is a really good question.
Yeah, it is a good question. We put... I'm belittling humans here, really. I don't mean to do that, but thinking of the general public, no, I don't think the general public are, I've put in quotation marks, smart enough to actually enjoy an attraction because they have an underlying secret pleasure for that experience. 90% of visitors, it's a night out with friends to have a couple of frights, a couple of laughs, a couple of beers. But for the more seasoned scare attraction visitor, I would agree more so that they may be enjoying something slightly more extreme, sicker, twisted. In the scare world, I think it's more acceptable. And I think we maybe appreciate it more as opposed to a general sort of Joe Public person that just goes through and goes, yeah, loads of people are shouting boo at me in the dark. That's kind of what they sort of get out of it. So I think it's true, but only on seasoned scare actors. Seasoned scare enthusiasts, if that makes sense. Was this one a bit of an eye-opener for you, Lou, or...?
Yeah,
people it's... giving you all these sexual weird fantasies, or
yeah.
Or was that just me?
No, it's again, you're kind of looking at individuals, but it's interesting because I personally think it's been something that's been instilled in us for a very, very long time. So there was actually a form of theatre that existed in 1897, but then it finished in 1962, and it was called the Grand Guignol. And Essentially it was realistic horror theatre. So essentially it would cater to the idea of the pleasure of seeing something twisted, seeing somebody getting cut up, or seeing these like sexual kind of acts and all this blood and gore all over the place. But whilst I was researching into that, they basically said it was catering for when we as people used to go and see like beheadings, or when we used to go and see executions and stuff like that. But obviously we can't do that anymore because life happened. But I think it is because, like, you know, you want something there that makes you feel something different, I guess. Like if you're the average Joe, like you're obviously in a 9-to-5 job, life becomes pretty mundane for you. But to be able to go into a world or an experience that offers something completely different, or something that's sick and twisted, like, but you want to see it, but people can't judge you for it because you're in the dark and you're in a large group of people and everyone's kind of enjoying it at the same time. You can't get judged for it. And so it's okay. So I think, you know, I think it can be the same for scare actors as well. Like when I was researching why people want to scare act, they said it's because it brings out a feeling in you, like, you know, really extreme emotions. You want to scare people. You feel empowered to do it. It's something different. You can become somebody completely different. So whilst you're in that environment, the same rules that apply to us outside of a scare attraction don't apply inside. Like you're allowed to see these things and enjoy them and be a part of that. So I think, yeah, I think it is something. Yeah.
And again, it brings up that whole notion of escapism, doesn't it, I guess? It takes you to a world where I can laugh at that person being chopped up on a table, although it's not... We all know it's not real. It's a bit like, I guess, why people may play horror computer games and watch horror films. It all sort of ties it all together, I guess.
Personally, I think that everyone has a pleasure in seeing and experience something that wouldn't socially be acceptable. You know, it's like the whole when you, you know, you watch. I know that I'm going off topic, but One Born Every Minute, which basically is a TV program where, you know, you see babies being born. Like, for me, I think that's gross. And I like do the whole covering my eyes, but then I kind of open my fingers and I have a quick look to see what's actually going on. Like, even though for me that I don't like, that's a bit squeamish, and I don't like, although I like fake blood, I don't like seeing real blood.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I always have that kind of notion of wanting to see more of everyday things you don't often see. So if it's a dead body on a desk, of course, you know, you're going to have a quick glimpse. It's I know, it's just very interesting, actually, this whole...
It's also probably all slightly better because we all know it's fake. I think that's the part that it's all pretend. I think that's why I like scare attractions. I know, like, I don't want to go on a ghost hunt because that could be real and scare me. But a scare attraction, I know it's fake blood. I know it's fake people. That kind of thing. So the fact that it's all pretend, the whole escapism thing, that might be why we enjoy.
I didn't mean a real dead body, by the way. I did.
That's fine, Sean. That's fine. But it's true what you say. Like, people react to things in different ways, and people might think, you mentioned sort of the sexual side of things as well. The amount of people that apparently got erections during Psychomantium was insane. Yeah. Speaking to the guys at Scare Kingdom, because of like naked people and whatnot.
Did you get one?
I got a bit of a semi, but no. Come on. Anyway, let's move on to that last question.
So the last question of the research was, working with the silver lining, where can the scare industry possibly go? We have extreme modes and survival experiences like Mycaney Manor. After we have broken those barriers between performer and audience member, where can the scare industry possibly go from here? Mikey took the lead on this one, and he replied...
I replied, the scare industry, in all honesty, I think can't go much further, as opposed to sort of pushing boundaries as such. We have reached a pinnacle in extreme attractions. They now push you as far as our law would allow, so it's impossible to push that much further without obviously getting in a lot of legal trouble. The standard regular kind of attractions, although have continued to have better set, better props, acting quality, they actually kind of haven't changed too much over the years. It's great to see small new ideas now and again, but attractions can always remain rather similar. I only see the scare industry going into a more immersive theatre direction. London appears to be doing more of these. Escape games are currently a fad, along with VR, but those could be things that are literally what they are, fads, and won't last that long. However, this answer appears to be quite negative. I found it a positive because scare attractions can be amazing, so much fun. So if the formula isn't broken, then why do we need to try and fix it and push it further? So with this general last question, Lou, what was your general reply?
Yeah, it... I think it was more going down exploration, really. So there's so many themes we could explore, like, you know, because we kind of work with the general concern, like themes of post-apocalyptic sites and graveyards and zombies and so on and so forth. But I think if, like, people are wanting to look at different themes we can work with to kind of get that reaction again. I mean, going with the VR comment, like I went to Darren Brown's Ghost Train last year, and, you know, having that thing masking your view, but then having somebody interacting with your body is completely terrifying, and I don't get scared easily. So at the end of the day, we're still finding ways to scare people. I just think it's a case of you have to think outside the box, really, and see what kind of areas that haven't been explored yet.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose there's always new ways. It's sort of similar with theme parks and rides. They're always bringing up new ways to give you that adrenaline boost and new kind of drop towers and new kind of launch coasters and whatnot. And I don't know about you.
The base is still always the same.
But the base is, like you say, Hannah, the base is always the same. You're still in a car going very fast. So yeah, you've probably knocked the nail on the head there. The basis is all kind of the same, similar kind of formula, just with new little things to make you scared. Yeah, yeah. No, I totally
definitely
agree. Awesome. So, Lou Jones, I think that's a perfect time to wrap it up. We hope we helped you with your dissertation, and we can't thank you enough for being on the show.
Thank you.
No, it's been great. So, and I'm guessing our listeners will be able to see you at Burton Screen Fest again this year?
Well, if they lift the restraining order, then I'll definitely be there.
Awesome. And how can our listeners actually contact you, maybe regarding questions on your dissertation, or maybe they want to book you for a workshop? I know you've done many workshops with your university. How can they get in contact with you?
Because I'm, like, now it's kind of becoming a lot more realer for me. I will be setting up a Facebook page, but I am on the Scare Actors page. So a lot of you guys are friends with me already. So if you want to add me, that's perfectly fine. I'm totally, you know, available to chat about anything. But I will be appearing at ScareCon again this year. So yeah, come and have a chat with me.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely, guys. Speak to Lou Jones. What we also didn't mention is Lou is actually a very talented artist who designed the Scare Track logo t-shirt of all three of us looking. Ooh. I mean, I look slimmer in that than I do in real life, so thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is awesome.
From many, many little twerks you wanted.
Well, you know, I needed my package to look bigger.
Every week. Can you make my bulge look bigger? Well, I don't know. Can you give me money towards it?
See, and everyone thinks I'm the precious one.
No, it was a pleasure. Honestly, it was. If anybody else wants me to do any art for them or anything, I'm taking commissions at the moment. Just, yeah, find me on Facebook.
Awesome stuff. Well, Lou Jones, thank you once again, and we will catch you at ScareCon.
Woo! Yes, you will.
Awesome.
See you there.
Cheers.
You're listening to ScareTrack.
So now it's time for our spooky movie discussion.
Yes, so our spooky movie discussion, you may have seen on our Facebook page, each time we watch a spooky horror movie, we want to discuss it with you guys. So be sure to keep an eye on our Facebook page so you can interact with us when we next watch our spooky movie.
So this spooky movie discussion, we are talking about The Houses October Built, otherwise known as The Houses of Halloween. Personally, I met the creators and the directors of this film at ScareCon 2015 at Thorpe Park. They were great guys, and they gave me, you know, some movie merchandise. I know a couple of people got some t-shirts, so thank you guys. So this movie takes a documentary style group of friends traveling around America to find the most extreme scare attraction. Let's just say the they get a little lost, a bit too deep into the attractions. So, guys, what did you think about the film?
I love the film. We watched it a couple of years ago when, like you say, when we met the guys. And then when it came out in the UK, they changed the name to Houses of Halloween. Not quite sure why. But I, even though the film isn't terrifying, it's not really that scary. It's quite fun because obviously it's sort of like a fake documentary of people visiting scare attractions. Now, we watched a film, A Funhouse Massacre, a few months ago in our first spooky movie discussion, and although it wasn't a really a very good film, I think we like them because it's based on our passion of scare attractions, which is why I think we love The Houses of October Built or Houses of Halloween that little bit more, because it does visit real life sort of scare attractions. The ending was a little bit meh for me. I would have liked to have a little bit more.
Yeah, I'd like more from the ending. I'd like to just, I don't know, I feel like it just left me a bit like, where's the end?
Yeah, totally, totally. Like, was that real? Are they going to die down there? Or was it part of their
intense
scare
attraction? Don't tell people.
Sorry, yeah. Spoilers. It only came out 3 years ago.
I think for me, I would have just liked a resolution whether to have known if it was real or not.
But there have been talks about making one in the UK, but they were a few years ago now, so whether it happens we don't know. But we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, that's what we thought. So here's what you guys had to say during our Mookie Spooky Boogie. So here's what you guys had to say during our spooky movie discussion.
Callum Darcy said, "I watched this a little while ago. Great fun." We agree. Thank you, Callum.
Yes, another fan of the show, Chris Chapman, said, "Great concept for a horror genre with a fairly enigmatic ending." Am I saying that right?
I think so.
Enigmatic.
Enigmatic ending that reflects how some enthusiasts go looking for attractions that are more extreme than the last. It sort of turns the tables too, since the scare attractions can be influenced by horror films. We totally agree, Chris. Thank you for joining our spooky movie discussion.
Yeah, cheers, Chris and Callum. And guys, if anyone else wants to join us in on our spooky movie discussion, be sure to head over to our Facebook page. That's where we have the discussion. If you are on your app on your phone, click the three little dots in the top corner, click on notifications and click all posts. That way, you'll never miss out on a spooky movie discussion. So let's move on to our listener feedback.
As you may have seen on our social media, the team took a trip to the newly improved Hex at Orton Towers. Andy Longmore got in contact and said, "Had a lot of fun on Hex Saturday. They really did a good job on it." We totally agree, Andy, and we love its new paintwork.
Yeah, it looks really good. Looks really good.
Chris Chapman has agreed, saying, "Hex is looking, sounding and smelling better than ever before." This is actually really interesting, guys, because you went to Orton Towers literally a day before me.
You went.
I know, and I never go to Orton Towers. So
I can't believe
you
were up here and didn't say hello.
I know, I was so gutted. But I still got to ride Hex, so it's fairly, you know, it's still fresh in my memory. But I can't remember, you know, and I'm not, this isn't spoilers, but you know the three rooms before you go through Hex, like go through. Before
behind
you get
the ancient
into...
bookcase, yeah.
The what?
Behind the ancient bookcase.
What? I don't...
That's what it says. Anyway, carry on with your question.
On the three rooms.
Anyway, yeah, I'm just going to let you carry on drinking, Hannah. I just can't remember those three rooms. You know, the one where you watch a video, you... Mm. For the life of me, I could not remember those videos.
They've always been there.
I can quote the videos to you if you want.
Oh, no, it's all right.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I was a bit bored watching it, but it still was good, and it was still, you know, I still enjoyed it.
It was nice, yeah. The obviously, the video was better, the audio, they replaced all the speakers, the actual ride, you know, all the lights were working, all the... Everything was working really well, so it looked like a brand new ride, and it worked really well. I think they missed a trick in adding something a little bit new. I know a similar ride system, The Haunting at Drayton Manor last year, received a little bit of an update with its projection mapping. Whether it worked perfectly on that ride or not, I'm not entirely sure. But I think that they could have... They missed a trick with being closed for a year.
Yeah.
They could have added more, but... For what it is, TLC, it's exactly what it is, just giving it some tender loving care. Towers loving care, sorry. It did exactly what it said on the tin, and it does look, smell, and sound great, exactly like Chris said. So that brings us to our end of listener feedback. Thank you so much, guys. If you did contact the show regarding episode 38, we had quite a lot of you, we do apologise we haven't been able to read it on this show. We'd also like to apologise to Merlin, who did take offence to episode 38. We never wish to upset anyone.
Before we go, we just want to give a quick shout out to our UK podcast fans, Frequent Fear. They have some great interviews on their podcast, so go over and give them some love now.
Yeah, we love the guys at Frequent Fear, and they'll be back on this show very shortly as well, discussing Fraternity.
Yes, I was going to say, don't forget to check their podcast and keep up to date with Fraternity.
Yeah, totally. Also, head over to the Return of the Living podcast. They talk all things haunted house related over in the States. It's always a quality show to listen to.
Remember, you can still support the show by liking and sharing our page on Facebook. Just search for Scare Track. We are also on Snapchat, Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle Scare Track. You can tell I don't really use social media. I don't know what that means. You can also get yourself some Scare Track merch. We have mugs, t-shirts and hoodies. Just head over to www.smart-dash. Is that a dash?
Hyphen.
smart-fx.co.uk.
So professional, Hannah. So that brings us to the end of episode 39. Sean, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for joining me, Mikey.
It was great. And Hannah, thanks for joining as always.
You're welcome. It was nice to be here.
Thanks.
Right, I feel like Hannah needs some more wine and, you know...
I have no alcohol in the house.
Yeah, that's why she was like, shit this episode.
What's... I have nothing and okay. I'm skinned.
Oh, we have hangry. What's the word when you just want to drink? Oh, alcoholic.
I have nothing now. Like, the next time I will be able to buy alcohol, this episode will be released.
Okay.
So send me your donations.
Yeah, we'll start a Just Giving page for Hannah's alcohol addictions.
Alcoholism.
So, we've butchered this. So, we shall see you on the next episode. Until then, see you later, guys.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.